Welcome back, everyone, to FinTech Mavericks. I'm Nicole Kasperson.
And I'm Drew Glover. Nicole, I saw your latest FinTech is FIM newsletter. Brex is expanding into the EU. Big news.
Huge, right? It's totally a signal. FinTech isn't just scaling in the US anymore. It's going global. And founders need partners that can scale with them.
Absolutely. Because crossing borders isn't just about new customers. It's a different go-to-market. Different compliance, currencies, operations. It's a lot.
Exactly. Which is why we've teamed up with Brex to build a special offer that brings you the Brex financial stack, plus a whole slew of perks like Brex travel credits, cash back, bonus points, and more.
Think of it as your global passport for scale, so you can focus on building, not back office chaos.
So if you're serious about growth, head to brex.com/fintechmavericks and get started. And be sure to mention Nicole and Drew sent you.
Been smarter.
Move faster.
With Brex.
With Brex. Today's guest is someone who literally does not play by the rules and has built her entire empire and career on proving why that's exactly the point. She's been called the Michael Bay of business because she likes to blow shit up. And honestly, same. She's an icon in advertising, the founder of Make Love Not Porn, and now she's stepping into fintech with BlockFree to fix a payment problem financial services has failed to address and, frankly, tends to ignore. So looking forward to jumping into all that. Cindy Gallup, welcome to FinTech Mavericks.
Thank you, Nicole. Thrilled to be here.
Yeah, I'm so happy to have you here. So I want to start with your origin story a bit. I've had such a pleasure diving deep into all of the work you've done over the years. Something that stood out to me. You've been called the truth Jack Nicholson told Tom Cruise he couldn't handle. What was your moment when you decided you were done playing by the rules when it comes to business?
Honestly, I think that it was really the freedom I felt when I left the corporate advertising world, gosh, 20 years ago now in 2005. Because, I'd had a wonderful career and I spent the longest part of my advertising career at the global creative agency Bartle Bogle Hegarty, BBH. I'm here in New York because I moved here 27 years ago to start up their US office for them. And I had a wonderful time working there. But I do remember this moment when I left in the summer of 2005 and I was going to be speaking at a media conference in LA that fall. And so I was crafting my talk and I suddenly realized that I could now go out on that stage of that conference and say anything I wanted to. Because I did a lot of speaking when I was at BBH, but I had to speak according to the agency's agenda. I couldn't say anything that might offend any of our clients. You know, that there were those kind of constraints. And I went, wow, I can put my own ideas out into the world and I can say anything I want to. And I think that was the first moment when I went, now I really can do whatever I want to do.
I love that. I resonate with that. For me, something that really stuck out to me when I decided to do FinTech and spend full time and become an entrepreneur was something very similar to that in terms of I actually really thought about time and my age. And I was in my mid-20s at the time. And I was like, how much longer am I going to wait till I start to say all the things that are actually on my mind? Like, how long am I going to wait until everyone else is comfortable with me saying all the things that I'm just like dying to say out loud and the honest truths about the industry that I know are very real and no one else is talking about? So then you fast forward to your 2009 TED Talk about Make Love Not Porn, and it became a phenomenon. It's got millions of views. I enjoyed watching it myself. What did it feel like to go viral for launching your own company?
Well, do you know, Nicole, the funny thing about that is, I had no idea that it would do that because when I gave that talk 16 years ago, TED.com was just getting off the ground. I didn't even think about the fact that I'd be talking to anyone beyond the people in the room at TED,
Right.
I mean, it's very funny to look back now and think about that. So, this is why I described Make Love Not Porn as an accident, because I did not set out to do anything I very bizarrely find myself doing today, consciously, intentionally. And it really was the extraordinary global response to my original launch of Make Love Not Porn as, at the time, not a business, but more a public service. That was what made me realize I'd uncovered a huge global social issue. And I then felt a responsibility to take Make Love Not Porn forwards in a way that would make it much more far-reaching, helpful, and effective. So that really started Make Love Not Porn as a business.
Can I ask, when you initially were thinking through Make Love Not Porn, as an entrepreneur, what was that moment where you said, I have a million ideas, I get exposure to a million ideas, this is the one I want to latch on to, and this is the one that I want the world to hear about?
Do you know, Drew, it really didn't work like that, because I didn't set out to start it. It came about because I date younger men. They tend to be in their 20s. And 17, 18 years ago, long before anybody else identified this, I began realizing through my direct personal experience having sex with younger men that when we don't talk openly and honestly about sex, porn becomes sex education by default in not a good way. So I found myself encountering a number of sexual behavioral memes in bed. I went, whoa, I know where that behavior is coming from. I thought, gosh, if I'm experiencing this, other people must be as well. I didn't know that because 17 years ago, no one was talking about this. No one was writing about it. This is me in complete isolation as a naturally action-oriented person going, oh, I'm going to do something about this. So that is why, as I say, I started Make Love Not Porn originally as a little side venture, kind of as a public service announcement. And it was the way the entire world responded that made me then realize that I was looking at a huge market opportunity that no one else was doing anything to help solve. And so that was the point at which I went, okay, I'm going to turn this into a business designed to do good and make money simultaneously, which is what I believe the future of business should be generally. And so it's why I say Make Love Not Porn was an accident, because it is literally the startup the world asked for.
And if it sounds like you dating individuals that are so much younger, was that a huge part of you unearthing this as a idea?
True, absolutely. I mean, this is an issue that would never have crossed my mind had I not encountered it so very intimately and personally. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, that tends to be how it is, right? And actually, that's what makes people kind of the best at being able to build in this, in whatever specific, niche or category, which ultimately you uncovered, right, over the years, that this isn't something so niche, right? The importance of... Me too, though, Sydney. Like, I feel like I was like, oh, fintech, women. Yeah, so niche. And then before I know it, I'm like, oh, not women, wealth, money, building companies. Not so niche. Same with sex education.
I mean, there is nothing niche about the single universal human experience that we are all most engaged with, most fascinated by, and most fucked up about. Dollar signs all over that shit.
Capital F fucked up. Let me just tell you, though, I think it's so fascinating. And my wife and I have this conversation often because she grew up very religious. I did not. But the negativity that she grew up with, having to basically withhold her own thoughts and like being sheltered and not being able to explore this, very much changed the conversation. And so when we met, like, there were so many different parts of this topic that I was teaching her and she was kind of sharing with me. But all you really need sometimes is just hearing that other people are experiencing it to have meaningful conversation. And so I am curious, as you were telling this to the world, how did you see the difference between men and women approaching you to talk about it?
Honestly, Drew, no difference at all. Because, what I've realized over 16 years of Make Love Not Porn is that everybody is dying to talk about sex. But I will tell you, what is especially interesting is, and just for the benefit of our listeners, I'll explain that, you know, when I say I turned Make Love Report into a business, I turned it into the world's first and only user-generated, importantly, 100% human-curated social sex video sharing platform. So we're kind of what Facebook would be if it allowed you to openly, healthily, socially, sexually self-express, which it clearly does not. The way to think about us is, if porn is the Hollywood blockbuster movie, Make Love Not Porn is the badly needed documentary. We are a unique window onto the funny, messy, loving, wonderful sex we all have in the real world. And what we're doing is we are socializing, normalizing, destigmatizing sex, bringing it out of the shadows into the sunlight to promote consent, communication, good sexual values and behavior. We are literally sex education through real world demonstration. And as a unique business, we have a unique capability. We have the power to change people's sexual attitudes and behavior for the better in a way that very few other things can. And so to your question, what is really interesting is, I designed Make Love Not Porn to be fully diverse and inclusive, and we are. Our members, our Make Love Not Porn stars, as we call our contributors, are all ages, 18 to 80, all races, ethnicities. We're a global platform, male, female, trans, non-binary, straight, LGBTQ, asexual. But in the 12 years we've operated as a business, we've discovered that Make Love Not Porn is especially a revelation to men. More men send us grateful emails, leave appreciative comments than anybody else. And by the way, women love us as well, but this is especially noteworthy. Nice. Because we are something utterly unique that men will find nowhere else on the internet, which is a safe space where men can be and watch other men being open, emotional, and vulnerable around sex. You would not believe the number of men who write to us regularly and say the same thing. I just watched my first video on Make Love Not Porn, and afterwards I cried. I've said for years, I wish society understood the opposite of what it thinks is true. Women enjoy sex just as much as men, and men are just as romantic as women. Yet neither gender is allowed to openly celebrate either of those facts. We would all be so much better off if they were. I picked up a wonderful Twitter exchange a few years back between two men. The first man had tweeted, as a joke, obviously, "Hey guys, got this really weird fetish. I've got this kink where I want to watch porn where people are honest, loving, loyal, decent, and really like each other. Get me up with the hottest links, please." And another man replied and said, "There's this website called Make Love Not Porn where you can watch real couples making love." He said, "I watched a video where the woman said to her man, 'I love you,' while they're making love." He said, "Sincerely, I cried when I heard that." Make Love Not Porn is one of the solutions to toxic masculinity.
I believe that. Oh my goodness. We're going to talk about fintech at some point here. Because I can only imagine, but like, this is just too fascinating. It's so true. So obviously, even right now, right, there's like a massive, I think it's so funny because like the narrative out there around toxic masculinity, I also think like can tend to focus sometimes on the wrong things, right? Like, I know I have a partner that doesn't identify with like what you consider to be traditional, like masculine things. I mean, he does in some capacities of like, he's really great at working outdoors and knows how to like hammer things, but like other and fix things. But other than that, right, there's not like a representation for men to really identify with out there.
And what is really important about what we're doing, Nicole, in that context is ultimately our mission at Make Love Not Porn is to help end rape culture globally. Now, that may sound like a very big mission, but we have 12 years of proof of concept at a micro level. We help end rape culture by doing something very simple that nevertheless nobody else anywhere is doing. We show you how wonderful, great, consensual, communicative sex is in the real world. Our social sex videos role model good sexual values, good sexual behavior. And here's the important part. We make all of that aspirational versus what you see in porn and popular culture. One man left a comment saying, "This video makes me want to be a better man in the bedroom and in life." We can do that. We are the antithesis of Andrew Tate.
It's so beautiful.
Well, I think it's so beautiful. And I'll just say, like, we are all products of our environment. And sometimes, and you're talking to someone that I had my first daughter 3 years ago, and I bring her up in this conversation because I think it's something very simple. She has given me permission to be a man that I never got to, I don't see on a day-to-day basis. She gave me permission to be a softer, more emotional individual. And so I do think to what you're building, it's so valuable because I think most men are just looking for permission sometimes. And your platform gives them that, right? Like all they have access to outside of that is the messy world of porn.
Yep.
But it's true. Like I've been with my wife for, we've been together for more than 10 years. We've been married for 5, but she has given me permission to be a man that I've always wanted to be. But society and just like, you know, just being around a ton of people, you know, it creates something that you can't run from. So I love everything you're talking about. I love it. I love it. And also right. just to bring this back, because from a fintech standpoint, like we're talking about business models here. Like I think about fintech and I love money management tools, but all I'm looking for sometime in a money management tool is them to give me the permission to say, I don't know shit about my finances and I want you to tell me that's okay. And I want you to work through that. But I do think just like the general concept of permission to break down to the foundation of who I am, like what are my biggest fears? Can I please share that with you and not be judged is so important.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely right.
And then to like bottle up the goodness of everything you just shared, Drew, right? Especially from like the male perspective. Like, I mean, Drew obviously has gotten to know my partner, Anton, because he builds FinTech Espen with me full time and will help produce this episode. But same thing, right? How do you package and bottle up the goodness of these relationships and the honesty around, hey, this partner of mine enabled me to be a softer version or the man I hadn't got to unlock my whole life. So you've bottled that up and made that public. And that's amazing to experience. Earlier, I was saying how like there's nothing niche about that, right? And it's
exactly.
Like, how have you kind of experienced that, right? Because at the beginning, you were probably like, oh, I'm solving this niche issue. And then it kind of blew up.
Well, I always knew that I was solving a fucking huge issue. Okay.
Okay. You knew.
No, the word niche comes nowhere near my vocabulary.
Okay. But, got it.
And this starts to get into the theme of this podcast. What I did not realize when I embarked on this venture was that I and my tiny team would fight a battle every single day, not even to grow, make love, not porn, just to keep it alive. Basically because every piece of business infrastructure any other tech startup takes for granted, we can't. The small print always says no adult content. And that is all pervasive across every single area of the business. I can't get funded. I can't get banked. Earlier this year, Make Love Not Poor was debanked 3 times in 2 months. That's got to be some kind of record.
Wow.
Every single tech service I need to use to operate a video platform, hosting, encoding, encrypting, the terms of service always say no adult content. In every single case, I have to go to the people at the top of the company, explain what I'm doing, beg to be allowed to use their service. Sometimes they let me, sometimes they don't. This is a very labor-intensive process. I never get to work with best in class of anything business partner-wise, and I don't get to work with best value either because I'm in no position to negotiate. My two biggest business growth inhibitors are, number one, payments. So I know we're going to talk about this, but for the benefit of our listeners, you know, PayPal won't work with adults, Stripe won't. Virtually all fintech products and mainstream credit card processors won't. I have to work with the murky subculture of adult-friendly payment processors who, because anybody adult has nowhere else to go, charge extortionate fees. I pay out 12% of my revenue every month in payment processing fees alone when maintenance rates are 3% or less. That's a massive business growth inhibitor. And the other business growth inhibitor is that we are banned from advertising Make Love Not Porn anywhere. We cannot advertise on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, Google, YouTube, Reddit. Look at what's on Reddit. Reddit bans us from advertising. Twitter, X, look at what's on X. They won't let us advertise either. And what is infuriating about this is, for example, you know, as I mentioned, we're banned from doing paid search on Google. But every day, all around the world, people search for Make Love Not Porn without knowing that we exist. And what I mean by that is, the top organic search terms that send traffic to us are Make Love, Not Porn, Real Sex Not Porn, Video Sexo Na Porno, Make Love Not Porn, where they don't know there's a company called that. One young man told me that he found us when he Googled porn that is not porn. He was so fed up with everything out there, wanted something different, and no idea what to search for. What do you search porn that is not porn? You find Make Love Not Porn. That is how much the world wants what we are, the documented porn's Hollywood movie, and knows it needs us. And we're not allowed to get to them. It's infuriating.
I will say, so at Fiat Growth, I run a growth consultancy basically focused on performance marketing, affiliate marketing. I can go down the list here. I'm curious, how are you engaging with AI right now from a marketing perspective? I, before this call, looked up you on, or looked up Make Love Not Porn on Perplexity. I looked it up on ChatGPT. I looked it up on Claude. Although I would argue there's probably a lot more information they should be sharing, I do get an educational understanding of exactly what you do.
I've been impressed, by the way, because I've obviously tried all of that myself. So yeah, now I'm very impressed.
Of course.
I'm delighted.
And so it's exciting. Yeah. From a marketing standpoint, how are you trying to utilize that right now?
Yeah. To be frank, Drew, I think that, well first of all, I cannot, and this is infuriating, I cannot actively utilize any of that because there is no place to go with it. Okay. Another example of what I mean is, you know, my background is 40 years working in brand building, marketing, and advertising, which, by the way, I always say is very good background for what I do now, because I've spent 40 years working in the business of getting people to do things they actually had no intention of doing, which is what advertising is. But what that means is that over the years, I have a pretty high profile in the ad industry. And so I have, you know, lovely agencies going, you know, we'd love to do a campaign to Make Love Not Porn pro bono. And I go, you know, I'm thrilled you want to do that. The issue is not, you know, doing wonderfully creative work. The issue is actually running it. Because we cannot have a presence anywhere. I'm thrilled, therefore, about the fact that we do have this great organic presence on AI. Mm-hmm. And that, to be frank, is a product of having launched Make Love Not Porn 16 years ago and having built up originally a quality search foundation. And the reason I know that is because when I started building Make Love Not Porn all those years ago, I said to my team, our marketing strategy is one thing and one thing only, but it's a very difficult thing to achieve. We want one day to be result number one on page number one of every single Google search for the word porn. Now, back in the day, it was astonishing how high we got up the rankings just by being a completely novel business, launching all those years ago, getting a shit ton of media coverage. And so in those early years, we actually made it to, I think the highest we got was result number 35 on page 4 of Google results, search results of the word porn, which is extraordinary. You know, I remember a friend of mine from the porn industry, you know, contacting me actually very early on going, oh my God, Cindy, do you realize you're in the top 100 search results of porn? That's extraordinary. Now, Google has made many changes to the algorithm since. And by the way, those changes over time have been censoring and are extremely biased. And so that is no longer the case. But, you know, over time, we've built up a good enough foundation of information about us out there that I've been delighted with the AI results when you know, I you know, to, I engage with AI deliberately to see how we come across. In fact, the one I was really pleased about was literally last week. And I saw this because Grok's response on X tagged me in it. Somebody had asked Grok a question on the lines of, you know, where can I find, like, you know, viable, good adult content ventures to fund? And so Grok replied saying, when you want to make sure that they are legal or whatever, and, for example, there is this wonderful, you know, Cindy Gallup has this wonderful new sex education platform, Mink Love Not Porn Academy, that she's going to be launching, that you should check. And I'm going, wow. I mean, to have Grok recommend Mink Love Not Porn. In that. And by the way, again, when X refuses to allow us to advertise, I mean that was very entertaining. Mm. So you know, I feel very good about where we are organically in that context. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons, you know, I've been trying for so long to raise serious funding is that all of those advertising marketing barriers fall when you can write big enough checks. You know, right now we're tiny bootstrapping, have no money, you know, and so our little social media budget is being rejected by everybody. But when we have serious funding, you bet we can absolutely advertise and we can make the most of, you know, what we already have out there versus organically.
You know, and you've said it, and this is kind of how you and I got connected, was through LinkedIn. I actually had wrote a Forbes story about how women entrepreneurs are really thriving in fintech. And I remember doing a deep dive into your profile, and I saw a post of yours where you shared that when the ecosystem that should enable your business to thrive and scale won't allow you in, you build your own ecosystem for everyone else to use. And so I know that's how you kind of started building your companies, to open the eyes of problems in different industries. And of course, everything you're talking about, not being able to do, you know, paid media or ads or even the payments pain point, which is so huge. That's kind of what got you into the fintech world. So talk to us about what you're thinking of building in fintech. Like, I think we need to do a deep dive into this payments issue, because I've had Keely Blair, the CEO of OnlyFans. Yeah. Oh my gosh, of course you're friends. Yeah. I love her. Anyway, she's amazing. So I had her on on my other podcast, Humans of Fintech, and this was something her and I talked very deeply about. She's a lawyer, right? And this was even right before she became CEO of OnlyFans. But that was years ago, where still talking about the same problem of not being able to fund businesses just because a certain word is in the font, right? Whether it's adult content, cannabis, right? Like, I've talked to people about these things. It's kind of insane. How are you navigating, dealing with it? What are the loop-de-loops you've found, right? We found the loop-de-loop in marketing with AI. What's like the one on the payment side?
So Nicole, this is exactly why I've been ferociously focused on fintech for 16 years.
Okay.
So very early on, 16 years ago, when I began realizing the barriers I was up against, you know, building Mecnoporn as a business, somebody said to me, Cindy, to do what you want to do, you're going to have to start your own bank. And I was so angry. I went, right, I'm going to start my own bank. And so yeah. 16 years ago, I'm not kidding. I investigated starting my own bank. Now, I talked to, you know, a financial attorney. Now, that was when I discovered that regulation made it impossible, you know. But I've been, as I said, ferociously focused on fintech ever since, because every business obstacle I encounter is a huge disruptive business opportunity itself. And that's why over time, I built out a product roadmap for Make Love Not Porn that was infrastructure focused, because I'm a great believer that when you have a truly world-changing startup, you have to change the world to fit it, not the other way around. And I'm all about building solutions to my own problems that everybody else can use. So for years, I've said publicly, I want to build a Stripe of sex tech, because the first payments app that welcomes legal, ethical, transparent ventures like mine cleans up. Now, the key to building the Stripe of sex tech is not so much the technology, which is the, relatively speaking, easier part. It's finding a bank willing to partner with and underwrite you, which is why I've been talking to banks for 16 years. Honestly, if you told me 16 years ago, I'd have this many conversations with banks and payment processors, would not have believed you, but I've spent a huge amount of my life now doing that. And, you know, I'm happy to report that, now in 2025, I have absolutely found a couple of banks who see the huge market opportunity that I'm talking about. And so I am now literally in the process of putting together and building my own fintech product that will take payments and make payouts for the huge opportunity that is restricted business, which is not just sex, tech, and adult like me. And by the way, that's a huge, huge market, but also cannabis, psychedelics, crypto itself, and also a number of other businesses that are bizarrely restricted when there seems to be no reason for them to be. And so what I've been doing is looking for partners. And this is absolutely an app that users, if you tell me once more time I'd use this word positively, would never have thought that, but blockchain, crypto, stablecoin, and I believe we've now found the perfect infrastructure partner. Because what we're in the process of doing is we are going to proof test this, first of all, on my own platforms, MakeLove.org and the Academy, make sure it works for us in exactly the way we want it to work for other people. Then we're going to turn it into a standalone app that everybody else can use. And the reason banks are interested is because we have a very unique model, which we deploy on every product from Make Love Not Poor, which is what I call the human curation layer on top of the internet. And where this comes from is, and I'll just contextualize this in the broader tech landscape as a whole, the young white male founders of the giant tech platforms that dominate all our lives today, they are not the primary targets, online or offline, of harassment, abuse, sexual assault, racism, violence, rape, intimate abuse. Therefore, they did not and they do not proactively design for the prevention of any of those things on their platforms. And we see the results of that around us every single day. Those of us who are most at risk every single day, women, Black people, people of color, LGBTQ, people with disabilities, we design safe spaces and safe experiences, but we don't get funded. Only 1.7% of all venture capital last year went to female founders. And that is why we've still not seen how much safer, better, happier, and by the way, not coincidentally, way more lucrative the future of the internet and technology can be when it's designed and built through the female lens. These are the two keywords, at scale. So I designed Make Love Not Porn to be the safest place on the internet because I designed it around 100% human curation. There's no self-publishing. Our curators watch every video from beginning to end before we approve or reject and we publish it. They review every member profile post, every comment, every video before we approve, reject, and we publish it. On Make Love Not Porn, therefore, there is no trolling, no harassment, no abuse, nothing but love. And the key thing about that is we can vouch for every single piece of content on our platform. We are tiny, bootstrapping, have no money, and we've human created everything for 12 years. Imagine what Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat could do with their billions if they chose to. Safety on the internet is not a matter of viability, it's a matter of will. And so we are taking that unique human curation model and we are applying it to our own fintech app. So the idea is that when we've proof tested this solution with our partner on our own platform, we will then put our own brand wrapper around it and we will put our human curation layer around it. And by the way, the model we've designed is enormously efficient and very scalable. The idea is that human curation will do exactly what we're doing Make Love Not Porn. First of all, vet all the application paperwork. Because on Make Love Not Porn, we are 22/7 compliant. Everyone has to provide full identifying details, two forms of government issued ID, et cetera, et cetera. And we automate that process, but then human eyes vet all the documentation to make sure it's absolutely legal, consensual. So in the same way, we'll have an application process for Block Free, which is what I'm calling this app, because I want to free us all from the blocks of fintech injustice. So, you know, Humanize will vet the application. And by the way, the irony is, I'm only talking about what banks are meant to do anyway, but in the race to automation fintech, nobody is. You know, so Humanize vet the documentation. We do any research necessary to make sure, you know, you have to be a legal, ethical, transparent business. You know, that's it. And then you can use Block Free. But that's why banks are interested, because we are putting in the human curation layer they don't have the resources for. But we guarantee that we are going to take restricted business payments, make restricted business payouts safely and securely because of this layer.
You said a mouthful there, sister. Let me just start there. Drew, you're the investor on this call. I have my journalist-y notes here. But what are... first thoughts, though, I think on especially in terms of the payments element, right? This infrastructure layer. How do we actually make this like happen? I mean, well, Cindy created it. So how do we make it happen at scale?
I mean, guys, it's happening. It's happening.
Sorry. It's happening. Yeah. How do we make it happen at scale? Because it's necessary. Because whoever figures out payments for restricted businesses cleans house.
Exactly. And what is interesting, Nicole and Drew, is that unlike my battles with Make Love Not Porn and MakeLoveNotPorn.academy, which for our listeners is the 0 to 18 and beyond sex education aggregator hub we're currently building and launching in a couple months' time, the Google of Sex Ed, I've been very encouraged by the fact that when I talk for investors about Block Free, they really get it. Mm-hmm. I have a very high level of fintech investor interest in this concept. And so, I mean, the game plan is, as I said, we're going to proof test it ourselves. But then I am going to look to raise funding to be able to turn into something that I intend to be absolutely huge. And also, I'll be very straightforward with you. I've been very pragmatic about this. You know, the path to exit is very clear. You know, when I prove it is possible to take restricted business payments, make restricted business payouts safely and securely, giant fintech slash global bank is going to buy Block Free from me for a shit ton of money. Okay, that's a game plan.
And so here's a question for you. I'm putting my VC hat on.
Ooh, sure.
What you're solving for is not a niche problem. However, restrictive businesses... there are a lot of good, there are a lot of bad. That's completely up to how people want to define what good and bad is. But if you're underwriting them under the scope of good versus bad, it becomes niche very quickly because there's not a lot of people building businesses like you're building. However, and that's because I would assume a lot of them are afraid to do it because it does take a lot of courage to get this out there. But depending on how we're underwriting these restrictive businesses from a risk standpoint is the difference between it being a $1 trillion opportunity versus a $1 million opportunity. Yeah. And so I'm curious how you're going to approach that.
Sure. So a couple of responses to that, Drew. First of all, you know, this will be a private company to begin with, certainly, because we have big ambitions on that front as well. But
of course.
So we, as we have done with McLaughlin Academy, we set our own conditions. And those conditions fundamentally are because we operate very broad curation criteria. So on Make Love Not Porn, your video must be legal, consensual, and real. Beyond that, anything goes. You know, we exist to celebrate the full glorious spectrum of human sexuality. On Make Love Not Porn Academy, where again, we vet every educator piece of content to make sure it's safe, we endorse it. Your content has to be educational, fact-based, and non-judgmental. And then anything goes beyond that. For Block Free, your company has to be legal, ethical, and transparent. And by the way, that with that last point, what I mean is that when we ask you questions, you give us honest answers because we'll be asking questions, you know, as part of the research. Now, I am building my businesses based on my own personal beliefs and philosophies, one of which is that everything in life starts with you and your values. okay, you know, Make the Call is built around the concept of good sexual values. Block Free is going to be built around the concept of good business values. And if you don't operate those, this is not for you. There are plenty of other people who are happy to handle, you know, the really unpleasant side of restricted business. We are only looking for legal, ethical, and transparent. And I can tell you, in 16 years of working Make Love Not Porn, first of all, I know a huge number of sex tech businesses and adult businesses who are desperate for me to build and launch this. Okay, that's not a small market by any means, and they're all legal and ethical. You know, but secondly, to your point, this is also designed to be an unlock. As I said earlier, this is one of my two massive business growth inhibitors. Okay, when we unlock this, many more businesses come into play. And by the way, many more investors are willing to fund those businesses. You know, in my, again, 16-year journey of trying to raise funding for Make Love Not Porn, I've talked to investors who, back when I was raising seed funding, I spoke to an investor, angel investor, who had invested in Jimmy Jane, who were one of the first pioneers of, you know, gorgeous sex toys, you know, cool, classy, etc. And he totally saw the opportunity in sex tech. You know, he was very excited to invest in them. And once he became an investor, he was completely taken aback by all the barriers, you know, like the ones I've outlined for me. You know, they also had barriers of sales, distribution, marketing. And that investor said to me, I'm never touching this sector again. Okay, I'm talking about unlocking investment into sex tech and adult, and by the way, cannabis and psychedelics as well, when you take away a huge infrastructure business growth inhibitor block. But the second thing about this is, what I want to do with Block Free, and this is a conversation I had with our crypto partner, is, and this is how we plan to integrate them into Make Love Not Porn, and then this is absolutely crucial. I've said, you know, as far as our users are concerned, it's money in. As far as our creators are concerned, it's money out. The words blockchain, crypto, and stablecoin must appear nowhere near this product in any capacity. Because, sadly, the crypto community has not told its story well enough for the man or woman in the street. Sam Bankman does not help matters. You know, so I want this to be, you know the old saying about any sufficiently advanced technology appears to be magic. You know, this should be magical. Money in, money out. And if I can achieve that, you know, not only, by the way, is this the mainstream mass market everyday use case the crypto community is desperate for, it also means that anybody can use Block Free. You don't have to be a restricted business.
I first and foremost, I love this. I would love to chat with you more about it from like an investment standpoint. Seriously. One last question I do have about this is, how do we underwrite? I understand transparency, I understand legal, but how do we underwrite ethical?
That is a judgment call at our end. Again, as a private company, we are entitled to decide who can and can't use our services.
Fair.
Okay. No, I it's incredible. Something you also said is just like the funding to women in tech being, abysmal. And also it's something that you talk about often, which I've appreciated seeing online, is just you calling out the performative bullshit in VC over and over again. Of course, Drew does not fall into this category. He is our lovely exception.
And actually, just on that, Nicole, if you don't mind me chipping in briefly.
Yeah, of course.
I just want to make this point to Drew as well, because this again is something I've been saying publicly for years. You know, what is very ironic, Drew, is that my human curation model is designed to make even more money than FinTech is making today. And let me explain what I mean by that. So, I've been saying for years that the giant tech platforms, you know, Meta, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, etc., YouTube, they should absolutely implement my 100% human curation model, because they would make so much more money for two reasons. The first is, the moment you implement 100% human curation pre-publishing, okay, you instantly reduce your costs dramatically, because you turn off the fire hose of racism, Nazis, child abusers. When people know that shit won't get through, they stop submitting it. You know, people think that 100% human creation involves a massive deployment of resources. It doesn't. I did something very unusual at Make Love Not Porn. I decided what values my platform stood for, and then I made those crystal clear. Here's the funny thing. When you tell people exactly what kind of content you want, that is the only kind of content you get. So you dramatically reduce your own infrastructure costs. When you go, we are now 100% human creating pre-publishing, that shit won't get through. You don't have to run those appalling content moderation farms in the Philippines where those workers are, like, you know, getting mentally ill and looking at all that crap. Okay. So first of all, you reduce the costs. And then secondly, and bear in mind, again, my background is 40 years working in advertising. You then make even more money than you are currently because two keywords, brand safety. When you guarantee to advertisers their ads will never, ever show up next to anything you don't want them to, you quadruple, quintuple your advertiser revenues even from where they are now. And so ironically, you know, my aim with Block 3 is, you know, absolutely use human curation to scale the fucking shit out of something that, when you make it clear it is safe and secure, you can do so much more business.
Love.
Doing the great Lord's work out here. I mean, it's what's totally...
That's the female lens on this. That's yeah. The female lens that isn't automate the shit out of everything. The less we have to touch it, the more money we'll make. No, because then really things happen. You know, so I'm flipping the gender lens on all of this. And this is what scaling the shit out of something with the female lens looks like, with the aim of making even more money.
Yeah, well, and that's why it's so important for it to be so public that you're doing this and what you're and that you're expressing, right? You have the following on LinkedIn. You're doing what you need to do to talk about it from a content standpoint and doing your own organic storytelling and reach, right? Because for me, it was a huge inspiration with Fintech is Femme. I was like, look at what fintech becomes when we talk about it from the female lens. Look what it all. I wrote a whole book that I'll have to send to you, Cindy, that's right behind me about it, because it was just unreal. The amount, like, everyone's out here trying to tell me that there's no women in fintech. And I'm like, excuse me. I write a newsletter twice a week about it. I got 90,000 words in a 360 page book about it, right? There's like an unlimited amount of women that are solving those little pain points in all of fintech. And so thank you for building. There's a chapter of the book called The Root of Problems, and it's all about how women are just more inclined to get to the actual foundation and root of problems and then go off and solve them. And that's like all backed by just research and data and science. Like, it just is a thing.
Exactly. As I've been saying for years, there is a huge amount of money to be made out of taking women seriously.
Pause. Period, as the kids would say.
I know. That's some swag needs to be made right now.
I know. Yeah, I mean, she's probably going to be on it, but it's true. And so we have just a few minutes left here. I always like to close these shows out with a round of rapid fire questions. Before we do, Drew, any final questions around Block 3 or anything outside of the fact that you two are going to connect later and talk about things? But
oh yeah, most definitely. No, I mean, honestly, I think what you're building is much needed, and I'll tell you, the banking industry to date has always been one where they are risk averse, and we're in a world now where we cannot hold on to risk models that we've been holding on to for the last 200 years. Things need to shift, and so the good thing is there are a lot of groups, and I will actually just state this, a lot of banks have opened up venture arms, and I actually think that has forced them to think about innovation and entrepreneurship differently. So I am so happy that you've been able to find partners in this. I am not surprised that it's coming from blockchain, crypto, and stablecoins, because that's where the most disruption could happen. And I will also agree that the reason why we're living in this wrapper world of... you can't just say that the infrastructure is stablecoins, crypto, and blockchain. You have to wrap it in something beautifully designed that doesn't say any of those words.
Exactly.
Because you lose the education of the consumer of what am I getting into. So it's a challenge, right? It's a challenge of design. It's a challenge of innovation. It's a challenge of making sure that you're building something around brand safety, because we're building trust here. And when it's a topic that people all agree to, but are also wildly afraid to talk about, mm-hmm. then you really have to like enter that. And I'm glad that your marketing mind and your brand mind's behind it, because that is perfect founder market fit to bring this to life.
Thank you.
Amazing. I love this. This is so great. I love seeing a badass woman get the flowers that she deserves and the money. And by flowers, I mean money. That's really what I'm talking about. Yeah, no, it's true. And so I thank you for solving such a infrastructural and fundamental issue of our fintech space. And I'm so excited to just keep seeing the journey and keep seeing you going and doing it. Let's do some rapid fire questions before we close out here. All right. First question, Cindy, what is the first thing you do when you wake up?
Coffee.
Same. One word you'd ban from every pitch deck ever?
Content.
Oh, that's a take. Why? It's okay. This is what rapid fire is. I will just have to pawn on that one. All right. The song that makes you feel absolutely unstoppable?
Mary Chapin Carpenter's Everything We Got the Hard Way.
Oh, gosh. Isn't that the truth too? You say you like to blow shit up, as we said earlier. What do you tell founders who are scared to do the same?
Don't give a damn what anyone else thinks.
Yes, yes. As you shared on your South By talk, I think that was your South By London talk, right? Where, I'll ask you. People always say, how do you stay motivated and keep yourself going every day?
Yep. Fortunately, the thing that most motivates me is a dynamic that I call, I'm going to fucking well show you. You tell me it can't be done, I'm going to fucking well show you. Put a barrel path, I'm going to fucking well show you. I turn all that daily demoralization, discouragement into inspiration and motivation.
You're my hero. You've broken every rule in the book. Which one is the most satisfying rule to break?
Golly, I mean, I can't even answer that because I don't think of them as rules. I'm just being me. I'm just living my values, living and working my values. So, you know, if there are rules, I don't notice them because I'm just doing what I believe is right.
We're not even noticing them because what are rules? They're a construct. Who made them?
Exactly.
Someone that doesn't align with my values. All right, Drew, you're up.
The boldest move you've ever made in business.
Oh, I mean, starting Make Love Not Porn, obviously.
Yeah, you also launched your startup. You launched your startup on a TED Talk stage, and that's pretty baller, I'm not going to lie.
One thing every founder gets dead wrong about raising money.
It has nothing to do with how good your pitch is.
Again, you the statements you're making make me want to ask more questions, but I'm going to hold back. I love that. Let it hang. Your biggest holy shit, I actually did this moment.
Honestly, 16 years later, it is Make Love Not Porn is still here in the face of everything the tech and business and finance and fintech world has done to try to stop us.
I know you've had a lot of blockers. You've had a lot of blockers. Right on. A book, a film, or a piece of art that has recently just cracked your brain open?
That's a toughie. And so I'm not sure that I've read or seen anything that's cracked my brain open. This is just a shout out to, because I've just read her latest book. So there is a wonderful author called Abigail Dean, and she wrote a book a few years ago called Girl A, which is one of the most harrowing novels I've ever read, and I still think about regularly to this point. The moment I saw that she'd written a new book, I absolutely had to buy it. It's called The End of Us. And then I discovered there's another book in between called Day One. And I recommend this to all our listeners because Abigail Dean writes about the most horrific instances in life and looks at the human stories within them. Girl A is about a family that abused their children. Day One is about a school shooting. And The End of Us is about a home invader, rapist, and murderer. And I don't know how this woman puts herself in the darkest places, but certainly in terms of being mind-blowing, I would say that's the book answer to what you just asked.
Your most unpopular opinion about venture capital?
Basically, 50% of it should be allocated by and to women.
Love that.
Amen.
Love that. Amen. Last question. Finish this sentence. The best founders always...
The best founders always refuse to take no for an answer.
Yes. That's the grit we're looking for. That's the grit looking for.
It is. It is. Cindy, you are probably... I mean, I feel like every... I don't know. You probably are the most fintech maverick of all of our mavericks. We love them all, obviously. But I mean, what you've been doing for how many years in the industry? I know you've been 16 with Make Love Not Porn, but how long in the how long working? How long have you been working?
Oh God, I mean, you know, 45 years, so 44 years, something like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, 45 years of just consistency of not even knowing what rules are because you make your own and carve your own path. It's really inspiring to see, and it's been such a pleasure diving into your journey. You're such proof that saying the thing nobody else will and building what nobody else dares isn't just powerful. It's completely necessary, and it's scalable, and it's sustainable, and it's better, and it makes a hell of a lot more money. So I'm excited to see you continue to blow shit up and continue to say the things that all of us tend to be too afraid to say, but you're making me feel inspired and ready to, you know, blow shit up too. Are you ready to blow shit up?
Blow shit up. Awe-inspiring. This has been such an incredible conversation. I'm so glad to have met you. I'm excited to keep the conversation going, but thank you for being you, and thank you for blazing a path. Seriously.
It's been an absolute pleasure, guys. And to our listeners, please join us at makelovenotporn.com. Check out makelovenotporn.academy. And we have a holding page up at blockfree.us because I liked the rallying cry of block free us, which I'm determined to do.
Ooh, I like it. It's love what it. I thought of when I named my company. I was like, fintech is fun as a rallying cry. So I feel so validated. But yes, blockfree is us, dot us, all of that. I agree entirely. Thank you again for joining us on Fintech Mavericks.
It's been great.